This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hour number two, live here on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until Capitals hockey as they take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know how glad I am that it wasn't Sidney Crosby that scored the game winner for Canada?
Yeah, I'm glad it was the best player on the ice.
Well, I heard you and Rooster talking about that. How do you leave McDavid wide open?
Dude, I don't... Auston Matthews and Jack Hughes will never be forgiven in my book for that.
Like, it's one thing if you left someone, Connor McDavid, in the middle of the ice.
One guy that you cannot lose. He just manages to poof, gone, disappear. Oh, there he is right in front of the net, wide open.
And I just wish that Hellebuck could have somehow turned into Binnington for 5 seconds and stood on his head like he was against Auston Matthews, because Matthews had those exact same sort of looks and couldn't finish him. McDavid gets one and it's buried. And you knew it too. You knew it.
One of my, I think we got a, let me see here. We have a rematch, a goalie rematch. The Jets take on the Blues tonight at 7 p.m.
Nice.
So if you want to see these two goalies go at it again, hey.
The other thing, Max, I'm curious, because you're a big Caps guy. Connor McDavid comes to town tomorrow.
That he does.
Are we buying tickets to go boo Connor McDavid?
If Sidney Crosby were scoring the game-winning goal, I would have taken the 15 minutes I had to leave here. I would have gone right up to Pittsburgh to boo Sidney Crosby in person myself. McDavid, I don't have as much of a beef with. So
sure.
I've softened up a little bit on the on Team Canada beating us, especially after it started to get a little bit more political. I was like, all right, let's all relax here, you know.
Max has gotten a little bit soft in his old age.
That's that is me. I'm more forgiving now. I don't know.
Talking about the NFL draft. So JP brought this up on B. Mitch and Finley yesterday. I thought it was a really good point. Usually this team is drafting in the top half of the draft, and at that point you kind of have a good understanding of where they're going to go. Maybe you've got three or four guys kind of pigeonholed into who they could take, and
for sure,
you have that understanding. Last year was nice and easy. We knew they were taking a quarterback. We just didn't know yet which one. That was really easy to know. But this year, drafting at 29, they could go literally any direction outside of quarterback, and it wouldn't be surprising, with the exception of long snapper, punter, and kicker, if you want to be a smart aleck. But they could literally go anywhere, right? Like, they could draft a running back, and if it's going to be a running back, it's going to be like if Genty were to fall to 29, which isn't likely, but if he were there.
I would swoon.
Dude, I'd be so happy. Omarion Hampton, I'd be fine with. Trevion Henderson is now sneaking into the first round of some mocks.
Yeah, I see him getting Clinton Portis comps, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I get steamed up for some of those guys. The question I have, and you can give me your list as well, Max. I've had a little more time to work on it than you have, but top five positions that you want at pick number 29, power rank them. So I'll give you a second to come up with your list because I want to go five through one. We'll go back and forth here. So I'll give you mine first. I'll start with number five for me, and that's the corner position. The reason it's corner and not some of these other positions, I was really debating between corner and running back. And one thing that you have to take into consideration is, and part you're going to hear some of my explanation on some of this a little bit later as well, you have to consider where you're drafting, what you're getting, and the guys that are going to be available. And I know some people aren't diehard draft, you know, guys like I am, but you know, corner at this spot, I think you can get some good ones. I don't know that it's, you know, hugely different than if you could go get somebody in the third round, maybe, you know, 30 picks later in the second round, something like that. So I don't know that I feel the need if you want to go corner there. Like a guy like Siobhan Revell would be interesting, but he's coming off of an injury out of East Carolina. A guy like Morrison out of Notre Dame was probably a top 15 pick, but he's dealing with a serious injury. And you're like, well, do you want to go down that road again? But I think corner would be, I'd be totally fine with because I trust what they're doing with scouting. The interesting name that kind of floats around and I've heard kind of all over the place in mock drafts and top rankings of draft prospects is, I'm not exactly sure how you say his first name, but Jedi Barron out of Texas. And maybe there's a chance that he could be there. And the thing that's intriguing about him for Washington is he's kind of a nickel defender. And he can play safety. He can play corner. He's kind of that guy that you can move all over, but he's, you know, really good DB, really good coverage guy, even though he might not end up with the best measurables and might not end up with the best 40 time. But would you consider drafting a guy like Barron despite having your nickel corner for the long term and Mikey Samra still, because maybe you feel like you can at least play him outside and get by with it? So that'd be an interesting name to keep an eye on. But to me, corner would be number five for me. Max, do you have your list ready to roll?
I wrote a bunch of positions of need down on my hand, and I'm trying to figure out what is most important to me versus what is least important to me. I think at 29, because it's such a deep defensive line class, that would be power ranked as fifth for me.
Really?
Well, yes, because there's so many places that you can go. Because, like, I don't know that we're going to be picking at 29. I think there's a good chance, especially with, like, how this talent is laid out. Like, people have been saying it's not crazy top-heavy anywhere. You can kind of get the same caliber of guy anywhere between 20 and 60.
Okay.
So I could definitely see us trading out of 29 to a team that might be enticed by, say, Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe. And, I mean, we'll find out kind of what their numbers are when they come out of the combine, which I think is, what, coming up very
next
soon.
Week. Yeah. Next week?
Next week. Man, this offseason flies by when your team's
good.
Well,
hold on. If we're going to do this exercise, you want to know what I want them to do at 29? I want them not to be picking at 29 because Myles Garrett is wearing burgundy and gold.
You know, I'd be fine with that. That would be A-okay with me, man.
So you're saying edge rusher at 5 for you?
Not edge. Defensive tackle. Because, defensive tackle would be my 5. Edge is way higher up the list.
Okay, that makes more sense. Defensive tackle definitely makes sense being at 5. All right, number 4 for me is wide receiver. You know, I'm not really keen on drafting a wide receiver. My top 3 are really where I want them to focus. But if they were to go Emeka Egbuka, I wouldn't be mad. If they were to go with Luther Burden, if he slips down there, I wouldn't be mad. I just, similar to what you were saying, the value at 29 of getting one of those guys versus saying getting a guy like an Isaiah Bond a little bit later, a Harris out of Ole Miss a little bit later, I just don't know if it's fully there. I don't know that it's a huge upgrade there, but you know, a guy like Egbuka, who I keep coming back to because Field Yates had him in his mock draft coming to Washington, he fits perfectly with what Washington is trying to do. And so if you say that's what we want to go get is a guy who we know for sure can block on the outside, can do a little bit of everything, line up all over the formation, run any route you need. He's an explosive guy. He can run end arounds. I was at a game, a crazy college football game that I went to was at Northwestern.
Ooh.
It was Ohio State versus Northwestern. I've been to a few. That when I was in Wisconsin, that was the place to go watch really good Big Ten players for cheap. So I went down there and saw Saquon Barkley when he was at Penn State. Went down there and saw C.J. Stroud and the boys. Matter of fact, walking into the stadium, I was right behind Ryan Poles.
Oh, nice.
So they were scouting him pretty heavily. But C.J. Stroud threw for like 79 yards because it was blowing like 40-mile-an-hour winds the entire game. Rainy, like 40 degrees. It was nasty.
Yeah, it was
nasty out.
The stadium right off the lake?
Oh, well, this was the before they demolished their old field.
Oh, okay.
So not the new one that's kind of cool where it's sitting on the lake.
Yeah, you could throw football from the field into the water.
Yeah, this one's a little bit different, but it was cool because it was almost high school field-ish where like you could get – you felt closer to the players. But
yeah.
The reason I bring it up is there wasn't anything going for Ohio State except for Emeka Egbuka end-arounds. And you could maybe do a little bit of that if you brought him in here. So I'm not thrilled with his skill set. He was the wide receiver two for the Buckeyes, so he would easily fit in as a wide receiver two here because he's been behind Jeremiah Smith and Marvin Harrison Jr., so I don't think he'd have any issue fitting into a complementary role to Terry McLaurin. But I don't know. I just don't feel as excited about going and getting a guy like Egbuka or Luther Burden compared to if you gave me Isaiah Bond in the third, I'd be just as thrilled.
For sure. Yeah, wide receiver, that's kind of why it falls on the fourth spot for me. Because, again, like you said, it all depends on who's there. And that really, for me, it boils down to Egbuka and why am I – Luther Burden. Why was I blanking? But, yeah, it's down to those two. If they're not there, then find something else. That's kind of my take on it.
All right, so I've got mine kind of all work in tandem. I'm curious where your top three is. So give me your top three and your reasoning, because my top three, I think it's the expected position, so I'm not going to try and get too wacky out here. But I want to hear your top three and your reasoning, because my top three and the order I specifically have them is for a specific reason as well. What's your top three?
In the three spot, I got corner. I would like to get somebody young on the outside that is quick. Has the length, is agile, basically everything Benjamin St. Juste was, but not Benjamin St. Juste playing style, you know what I mean? Or not his technique, I guess. So that would be, corner's my three. Two would be running back.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think it's really important just being able to find somebody who can hit that hole and make guys miss whenever they need to or has the vision to break free and break a big one off. Because it happened to us a couple times. We saw Saquon, like, we bottled him up pretty good, but when he had those big rips, like, there's just not much you can do. And then in my two-spot edge rusher is a huge need for this team. Need somebody who can set the edge because that is probably the most important thing, but as well as, putting pressure on the quarterback. So, yeah, edge is my most important thing that we need.
So we agree on that. Edge rusher is at my number one, and maybe we'll dive into that a little bit deeper next segment. I want to detail why I have my two and three the way I do. At third, I have offensive tackle.
Okay.
At second, I have offensive guard. And ooh. You can, if you want to combine them into O-line, you can. But I want to give you my reasoning. When you draft an offensive tackle at 29, there's going to be huge concerns because offensive tackles don't fall to 29. Versus you can get a legit guard at 29 who's a difference maker and you could plug and play and feel good about right away. So at offensive tackle, a guy like a Josh Connerly who could be there or Simmons out of Ohio State or some of these guys have real concerns. Simmons is an injury concern. Connerly, are you sure that he can hold up out there? I know he's a good player, but you watch the one Senior Bowl and you don't want to make too much out of one rep, but go back and look up the one Senior Bowl rep of him against Marshall's edge rusher, Mike Green.
Ugh.
And he just annihilated him, put him on his butt. I don't know. Like, there's real concerns if you're drafting a tackle at 29. It's the same thing you had with Coleman, drafting him in the third round. To me, and I heard this recently from Daniel Jeremiah, if you're drafting a tackle at 29, you might as well just wait until the third round and take a guy or a second round and take a guy because chances are they've got a lot of question marks, just like the guy you could get in the second or third round. It's just maybe a little bit more of a sure thing. And if you're doing that, I'd rather just go ahead and draft the guy that I know for sure I can plug in at right guard or I can for sure plug in at left guard. So I would advise against going tackle versus some of these guys that are available at guard. You know for a fact that they're going to be a really good guard. So that's kind of how I would lean. Instead of going offensive tackle at 29, I know you're going to see mocks with them taking a tackle. frankly, you know, they need to upgrade there. I would like to see them maybe go out and get one in free agency. There are different ways that they could go about rearranging this offensive line. I think it needs to be a huge priority this offseason. You know, you're talking about, can you kick Coleman into left guard maybe? Can you maybe move Wiley to right guard? Are you going to cut Wiley? Are you bringing back Corn Lucas? You know, I was just looking at some of the dates on some of this stuff with Sam Cosmi. So Sam Cosmi, if my research was correct on Google, his surgery was January 28th, and it's an ACL. 9 months out would be October 28th. If you're going out and you're saying that at the nine-month mark he's ready to roll and the next game available would be week 9 of November 2nd, I've said before that week 10 to me is kind of when, okay, I would expect him back after week 10, maybe week 11 somewhere before there, but I wouldn't expect him anytime before then. If that's the case, you've got over half a season where you're not going to have your right guard. Allegretti was okay last year at left guard. You only feel good realistically about two guys of the five on your offensive line, with Brandon Coleman either being your left guard or left tackle, and Tyler Biadasz. So that position and that group needs to be really addressed. But if you're going to go with it in the draft, I wouldn't hate them just saying, instead of going with the tackle, who's obviously the more important position, or at least the more valuable position, I'll go ahead and go guard, and I'm hoping maybe they can find someone in free agency, whether they want to go shopping in the big boy market, like Ronnie Stanley or something like that, or they want to go with someone else that maybe they can do something with, or maybe they do something similar to this past year where Coleman was a third-round pick that they seem to like. I'm curious if they're going to keep him at tackle long-term. But regardless, I would go guard over tackle at 29, unless someone that you feel really, really confident doesn't have the red flags as some of these guys that typically fall at 29 is going to be available there at 29 at the tackle position. Because think about last year with the dude. He was their first-round pick for the Chiefs last year, right? That Kingsley Suamatia or whatever? Yep. Mm-hmm. That dude was terrible.
No, not great at all. And that happens when you're playing against Harvard and all these Ivy League kids that aren't, you know, as jacked as some of the NFL competition you'd be going up against.
Well, and that's the point, though. Would you rather draft a guy at 29 that plays like that at tackle, or would you rather go get a good guard? I'll just take the good guard.
Yeah,
right. I know,
sure,
it's harder to find tackle, but I'll just take the good guard, and if need be, you run it back with Wiley at right tackle. Not great, but I think I would take that. We both talked about edge rusher being our top want. We'll take a look at some of the names and maybe some of the concerns or what we want out of an edge rusher next. In the top 29, the pick number 29, we both say you want edge. What do you want, though? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can also tweet at me at @Toby_Altizer. We'll give you our reason for wanting edge rusher next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Overtime live on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until Caps Hockey. About an hour and a half until we turn it over to John Walton up in Pittsburgh. Hopefully we get to listen to a Caps victory. I'm sitting here watching some Nats baseball. How about that? Nats baseball. You got Charlie and Dave over on 980. You got Nats baseball, spring training. They're wearing the red jerseys, which are back in the rotation this year. I like that. They're a little plain for me. I wish they had a little bit of piping and stuff left from what they used to have on the jersey, but this will do. At least they have a red jersey back in the rotation, so that's good to watch. Nats baseball is back, and in Nats baseball fashion, three of the first four hitters struck out, so there is that too. But talking about the NFL draft, you want to hop in 800-636-1067. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Taking a look at the NFL draft, we both said that the top position that we want is edge rusher. So my top five, real quick, we get yours as well, Max. My top five positions that I want, 5-1, would be corner at 5, receiver at 4, offensive tackle at 3, offensive guard at 2, and then edge rusher at 1. Yours was?
It was D tackle. I forget what 4 was. Forget what 3 was. Running back was 2, and edge was 1.
I think you had corner in there.
Yeah, corner was 4 or 3. And then, you see, because I erased them on my hand as we were going down them instead of putting the ranking next to it.
Naturally, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we found ourselves.
Okay. But we both agree that edge rusher is number one. So taking a look at some of these names is where it gets interesting. So, you know, a guy like Abdul Carter is gone. We know that.
Without a doubt.
He looks like he could be the best player in the draft. I'm excited to see what happens at the top of the draft with some of the maneuvering with quarterback and whether they're going to take a quarterback. Are they going to go with maybe the most sure thing in the draft in Abdul Carter? Do you go with a Travis Hunter, you know, who's going to be playing at corner, or is he going to play receiver? What's he going to do there? So that's going to be intriguing. But Abdul Carter is going to be gone. Here's where it gets interesting. You know, some people are saying that some of these guys might fall, like a James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. I'm hearing that maybe there could be some stuff off the field. I don't know, but I've seen some stuff on Twitter saying that maybe there's some stuff off the field that could have him drop. He's ranked really high. Mykel Williams, I don't know that he'd be available, but if he's someone out of Georgia that could slide down the board a little bit. Shamar Stewart is up there out of Texas A&M. Nick Scowerton's a good run defender, and he's coming out of Texas A&M. Could you go with a Mike Green, like I talked about a little bit earlier, a guy that's a little bit of a game wrecker sort of player, just kind of hair on fire, going to go at it, 6'4", 248, guy that had a really good Senior Bowl. Could you go after that? What are you looking for in your edge rusher? Jack Sawyer is a name I've seen thrown around, a bigger dude who can, I think, play the run really well, also still get after the passer. I don't know that I view him as a difference maker, but I think he could be really solid as an edge rusher and maybe allow your defensive tackles to be a little bit more aggressive. What are you looking for out of your edge rusher? Are you looking for someone that's just a bona fide stud pass rusher? Do you need someone that's a full three-down guy? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I need a three-down guy who can set the edge. That's really like what it has been paramount for this team. It was what was really missing, I feel like, in our rush defense, because like you saw it against Philly. Like anytime they got to the outside, bam. Like instantly 5+ yards, if not 10. So just a guy who can anchor, set the edge, just bounce whatever he can inside to help the defensive tackles clean up. Like that's really what I'm looking for. Somebody who can set the edge. That's paramount to me.
Yeah, I think that if you can get a three down guy, it'd be huge because, you know, you have that on the opposite side of Dorrance Armstrong, who I think is a three-down guy. I think he can play the run fairly well. You know, you look at Dante Fowler, what he did this past season, he's not a three-down guy. He's a pass-rushing defensive end. I want a guy who can be solid against the run, and you have to build to what your division is and build to how you're going to beat the best football teams in the National Football League, and right now that's the Philadelphia Eagles. You're right. I can't have Saquon bouncing runs. I need guys that can play the run. I don't want just situational guys because, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, it might be 3rd and 6. They still might run the ball. You know, like they can run it at any point. I can't have a liability out there when Saquon's on the field in the run game. So, yeah, I think it would make sense. But if you can find one of these guys who can be an absolute menace in the pass game and still find a way to be at least somewhat effective against the run, because the other issue you run into, too, is at the defensive tackle position, You know, I think Deron is good against the run. I think John's okay against the run. And I don't know that Johnny Newton's good against the run at all. Frankly, he's a little bit undersized. And I don't know that when you drafted him, you thought he would be an impactful run defender. But I would love to see them be able to get a guy that can maybe make up for some of the shortcomings if they move on from a John Allen, or if they do some of these things where you can have a legit, you know, guy in Dorrance Armstrong, who does well against the run, Deron Payne, or whoever comes back, a defensive tackle alongside Johnny Newton. Theoretically, you're going to bring back a guy that's a little bit of a run stuffer there. Even like a guy like a Sheldon Day was good there as a run stuffer this season. So you have a couple of run stuffers. And then if you can make one more, you can get away with maybe one guy being a little bit deficient against the run. You can't have multiple on that D-line when you've got to go up against the Eagles twice and hopefully three times, you know, in the playoffs. So they're going to have to improve that position. But the other thing is, I want a legit guy that can get after the passer. I don't want to draft just a edge-setting defensive end. At some point, you've got to get a guy that is just a game wrecker. And I'm hoping Johnny Newton can get to that in year number two. But I need a dude that can get after the passer. Because you go back and look at some of these games, and the game that they lost to Dallas, Cooper Rush could have built a house in the pocket. He was just so comfortable back there. I can't have that because I'm not going to be able to beat some of these teams that you're going to run into in the playoffs, which is crazy to think about that we're talking you have to build a team ready for the playoffs, but you do. Like, you could be there. You absolutely could. So you can't allow, you know, what if you run into, maybe you get to the Super Bowl. What if you run into a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes? You can't just let them hang out back there all game long, much less even some of these guys in the NFC, which aren't as good. But I don't want to give Jalen Hurts all day. You know, like, you've got to find a way to get some pressure, and they just didn't have that this year.
Yeah, guys can't cover forever, and just speeding up that clock is it helps more than anything.
Yeah, I think if you can find a way to get that, I think you can still get that at 29. You know, there's enough of these guys. I tell you what, if that guy from Marshall, Mike Green, is there, he intrigues me so much.
Oh,
he reminds me of a little bit of a guy like how Crosby likes to play, like Hendrickson likes to play. He's just got that little bit of mean streak in him too. And he just annihilated Connerly on that rep at the Senior Bowl. And that kind of put him on the map of a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're going to see him shoot up boards. I think he'll do well at the Combine. So I'm excited to see what ends up happening. This is some of my favorite parts of the year. Are you a big draft guy, Max? Because this stuff gets me fired up.
It's so fun to speculate and like kind of project where you think these guys are going to be like going to go. Because yeah, it's super exciting. I love draft season.
So, for example, for me, I make a spreadsheet every year that I put my mock drafts in.
Ooh.
And as soon as the season ended, I was putting in where the teams were that didn't make the playoffs, where they slotted in the draft. That's how excited I was. as soon as you saw the graphic saying, here's 1 through 18 of the draft order set, that was getting plugged into my document ready to roll. So I'll get my mock draft. I used to put it out there a little bit more. This past year, I didn't really put it out there. I just kind of kept it to myself. I don't know how many I hit on. I think I hit on like 6 or whatever.
I think
one time I was really, really good. Maybe.
I think we should.
Maybe. I'm no expert. I don't want to look like an idiot, though, and get like 3 right.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm sure Kuiper didn't get every single right his first few times, did he?
I will say one time I made it, and the reason I started the exercise was there was one guy, I'm not going to call him out, I'm not going to say who it was, I'm not going to say who he works for, but there was one guy put out a mock draft, and I said, this is the most stupid thing I've ever seen. And so I said, you know what, I am going to put together a mock draft that is better than his.
Was his name Stephen Che, and does he work for Barstool Sports?
No.
Okay, good.
No. But I put together a mock draft, and I'm proud to say that I beat his.
Let's go.
Mine was more correct than his.
See, so you wouldn't be the worst one out there.
Yeah, I would not be. Speaking of things that suck, by the way, Juan Soto in his first at-bat in a Mets uniform in spring training going yard to the opposite field.
Oh.
Gross.
Well.
Absolutely disgusting.
Excited to see him tomorrow?
No. I'm not. Anytime he's going to throw on that stupid blue and orange, it just doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Hey, it's better than Yankee pinstripes in my book.
No, I'd rather have signed with the Yankees. I would have rather have signed to the Dodgers.
Dodgers would have been fine. Dodgers, he's West Coast. I don't have to think about him. But seeing him every month is going to be hell.
I can't deal with him in the division because for whatever reason, Nationals that leave decide that they have to stay in the NL East. I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't understand why. They like the East Coast too much.
It kills me. It kills me. Let's take a break when we come back. Ben Standig wrote an article in The Athletic going through some guys that could be potential cap casualties for Washington. We'll go through the list and make our decision on what we would do with these guys next here on The Fan. Little Drake, huh, Max? Was that the side you take in the beef?
No, this is not the side I take in the beef. But Hotline Bling does have it's a classic, unfortunately.
I have no side in the beef. Frankly, I have no idea what's going on. I just know they don't like each other.
I tried to explain it.
I know
it.
That this is a Drake song.
I tried to explain it to Chris Russell after the Super Bowl, and boy, oh boy, was that something.
I'm not going to have you try to explain it to me because, frankly, I don't care.
It would go just about as well as it did with Chris, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I would like to think that I know a little bit more of what's going on than Chris Russell.
Maybe.
I would hope.
you would, but I don't know. With this beef, there's just too much to unpack.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. We were going to take a look at some potential roster cuts, but our guy Matthew in D.C. gave us a call, and I think he's got a good topic. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, thanks. This is a great show. Love listening to you guys.
Appreciate it.
And real quick before I go to the topic, I just want to note that even people who are catatonic know more of what's going on than the roaster.
It's true.
In fact, there are people in graveyards from the 1800s who are probably more current than he is. But I digress. So you raised the point about Juan Soto being a Met and how you were like frustrated by that and you were going to kind of root against him. I actually am going to take a different position. I'm always going to root for Juan Soto. He was a great player when he was with us. He was part of our World Series winning team. He was always good to the Nats fans. He was a positive person. It's just that things didn't work out. So he left, but I'm always going to root for him, regardless of even if he's playing for a team in the NL East. I compare that to Bryce Harper, who I will always root for striking out, getting the yips, and being like sent to Triple A forever. And so
I like
a
that.
Good question is, who do you root for after they've left Washington, and who do you root against after they've left Washington?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Matt. I think this is a great topic. So if you want to call in, 800-636-1067, or you can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Former Washington athletes, they go somewhere else. Who are the ones that you cheer for? Who are the ones that you cheer against? Now, I wanted to correct a little bit there. I'm not necessarily going to cheer against Juan Soto. That dude won a championship. I'm just saying it's painful to see him in that nasty blue and orange up in New York and Queens. I can't deal with that, but I'm not going to root against him. You know, when he comes back to... So here's what I'm interested with Juan Soto. You know, when you come back to D.C., you know, every time he'd come back and play in Nats Park, he'd get an ovation and everyone loved him. Is that going to happen for the entirety of his time in New York? Or is that something that, you know, through two seasons, maybe you get that, and then after a while it kind of dies down and he just becomes every other guy? You know, I don't think he's ever going to get the Harper treatment unless for whatever reason he decides to turn full heel like Harper has and kind of alienate the fan base a little bit. Granted, you know, Washington was going to dislike Harper regardless, but I think this is an interesting topic. Now, so sticking with baseball, I think on the Phillies right now, there's a guy that I have a hard time rooting against.
Yeah.
And it's Trey Turner.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I don't – he was my favorite player in his time here. He was someone that I just loved watching. He was so fun to – I mean, he's so quick, so fast, so smooth, the way that he played the game. He was so slept on as one of the best shortstops in the league. And now he gets talked about in that conversation – and I told myself, because I'm a jersey collector, I was talking about this last night with Sports Memorabilia, I collect jerseys, and I told myself that wherever he signed long-term after he left the Dodgers, that I would probably buy a jersey of his, because he was my favorite player. And then he signed with Philadelphia, and that was not going to happen. There was a 0.0% chance. So I got the best of both worlds, and I bought a USA World Baseball Classic Trey Turner jersey.
There you
and he
go.
Turned out to be the hero there. So we got the jersey, but it was never going to be a Phil's jersey. So I'm curious, though. I'm trying to think of guys off the top of my head, to this topic. Again, if you want to hop in, 800-636-1067, or you can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Former Washington athletes that you either are cheering against or cheering for now. And by the way, first run of the year for the Nationals, Jacob Young gets on base, beats out a double play, and then steals third, and Dylan Cruz, a little blooper into center field, first run for the Nationals this season. Dylan
Look at
Cruz
that.
RBI. I love it.
Off to a hot start.
Who are some guys for you, Max, that you cheer for or cheer against?
So one that I will forever cheer for, this guy hates baseball now, Anthony Rendon, just because he was so good on the Nets, and then the second he signed that contract with the Angels, he was like, baseball's fine. I like hanging out with my family more. So I think I'm going to go do that. And that's what he's been doing. Good for him. Bag chaser. Credit to him. One that I would root against. Man, that's tough. I'm trying to think.
So here's a guy that I was thinking of in football. And he went to some teams that I could never cheer for. And he was never prevalent when he left Washington. So it kind of helped. But I was always going to cheer for Alfred Morris.
Yeah. Yeah, when he went to Dallas, that did hurt me a little bit.
That was incredibly painful when he's wearing that stupid star.
Yeah.
But I had a hard time cheering against Alfred Morris. I'm trying to think of other guys.
Ryan Kerrigan, when he became an Eagle.
Yeah, maybe. It doesn't even feel real,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other guys that would fit into this category. Because... So there's one that I already had a disdain for. He came to Washington for like half a season and had a heck of a year and then moved on, and I still don't like him, and that's Kyle Schwarber. I never liked Schwarbs.
Why is that?
I just have never liked Schwarbs. I didn't like him with the Cubs. Couldn't stand him. He had a great time with the Nationals and then moved on, and I went right back to disliking Schwarbs. Oh, here's someone. Maybe, if you really wanted to do it, you could get some interesting discussion here, like athletes that played in Washington that you still couldn't stand, like a Jonathan Papelbon.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah, I think there are definitely some. Let's take a break. We'll kind of brainstorm in the break here. Some guys that are former Washington athletes, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, whatever, hockey, that you're always going to root for, or guys that... they're gone, and you're never going to cheer for them again. 800-636-1067, or you can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we'll get into the Ben Standing piece talking about some potential cap casualties for the Commanders. We'll continue talking about this next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until Caps Hockey, about an hour until we turn it over to John Walton and Ken Sabourin on the call in Pittsburgh for Caps and Pens today. So caller Matthew last segment gave us a great topic we're hitting on here. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Ex-Washington players that you always will cheer for or ones that you'll always cheer against. Good examples, Juan Soto, won the World Series here, always going to cheer for Soto. Harper, not going to cheer for Harper. What say you? 800-636-1067, you want to hop in, or you can tweet us at Toby_Altizer. One that I thought of, Max, that he was personally my favorite athlete growing up was John Wall. I was always going to root for John Wall no matter where he went. Now, he kind of fell off once he left here.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of wasn't as relevant, but I was always going to cheer for John Wall. And then I think his running mate, Bradley Beal, I don't know that a lot of people care what's going on with Bradley Beal anymore, but I don't know that they're actively cheering for Bradley Beal anymore.
Yeah, Brad Beal is a good pick for most hated. I got another one for a former Washington, I guess, Redskin, who... got accused of some unsavory things. Darius Geis is my pick for, or one of my picks for guys you always probably root against. Even though he probably will never play in the league.
Does he count because he never played for anyone else?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I saw the name and was like, you know what? That's a guy I can say. Screw him.
I could see, you know, if you want to throw someone like that in there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other names, but like Max Scherzer comes to mind. Anybody that's a part of the 18 Cup run or the 19 World Series run, you can count them pretty much as someone you'll always root for, right? I mean,
pretty much. I mean, three guys like I'll never forget for that series. I mean, four if you want to throw Vrana in there because he's back. but Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, Orlov were all just guys I really fell in love with their game during that cup run. And so they're those three or those four are guys who I'll kind of keep an eye on forever.
Well, and Kuzi's hard because Kuzi was obviously a hero, but Kuzi's also an incredibly frustrating character in Caps history. So I don't know if everyone would fully agree with that. They're maybe not going to actively root against him, but they're not going to actively root for him. Now, frankly, you know, he's not in the National Hockey League anymore, so it's not as big of a deal.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of some of the other guys on the 19 World Series team. You got guys like Daniel Hudson that isn't here. I always cheered for Jordan Zimmermann. I always liked him, even when he left. Blake Treinen is another guy for the Nats, a reliever that I liked. I thought he was going to be a lot better in his time here. And he left and went to the A's and was really, really good. And he's been nails for the Dodgers as well. I think I would continue to root for him. I don't know that there's a ton that I would actively root against because I don't know. For a lot of these teams, I don't know if they've been good enough to have anyone leave and actively root against them, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were like rooting for Lars Eller before he came back, right? And it was just weird to see him. He was in Pittsburgh, right? Like, it was weird to see him there.
Yeah, it was very odd.
So, you know, I think a lot of people have their favorite players, and I don't know that there's a lot that are just disdained, like Harp, right? Like, there's not a lot of guys that come to D.C. and get booed every time they come back.
Yeah, well,
Harp,
I mean,
might be the only one.
Yeah, Bryce didn't do the. I mean, he kind of squandered that relationship himself when he wore the Vegas jersey and all that. But another guy I've got who I'll root for forever that we haven't mentioned yet, Taylor Heinicke. I'll root for him no matter what, unless he dons the star or that stupid eagle. If he throws on a Giants uniform, I'll be like, okay, we'll see if it works out. It's fun to watch, you know.
Which side do Chase Young and Montez Sweat fall on?
I didn't have as much disdain for Montez Sweat until he went off to Chicago and started running his mouth. But like at the same time, I understand why you were running your mouth because it just wasn't a very well managed organization at the time.
No,
and he didn't get the chance to experience what we now have. Chase. I just don't know where I stand on Chase. Like, he could be back this offseason, you know? You never really know. We need – defensive end is a position of need for this team.
Percentage chance Chase Young is wearing burgundy and gold next season. I'm going to go, like, 1%.
I was going to say, like, 15.
No, it ain't happening.
I don't think it is, but, hey, you never know.
It ain't happening. I don't know that a lot of people are rooting against him. The other one is like DMV athletes that you love. You know, like Kevin Durant's always going to have that love from around
forever.
Here.
Forever.
Guys like that.
Melo, even though he's not playing anymore, forever.
Yeah, like guys like that are always going to have love from around this area. But yeah, I think it's an interesting discussion. Maybe we'll have to pose this next week. We have a little more time to kind of go through and dig through our thoughts. I don't know that there's a whole lot of guys that I'm like, I can't stand them, but there are a lot of guys that have left here, and you're appreciative. Didn't Desmond go play for the Rockies for a while? I always loved Ian Desmond.
Yeah.
I think he was on with the Charlie and Dave and the Nats broadcast over on 980. Yeah, I loved him. There's just so many Nationals, I feel like, that fall into this conversation more than other sports. I don't know that there's a ton for the Redskins or Commanders that fall into this. Like, I think my best example, like I laid out earlier, was Alfred Morris. For the Wizards, it would have been any of the big three when they went somewhere else back in the day, and I was always going to root for John Wall. They've been so irrelevant recently. Like, does anyone feel that way about Denny Avdia leaving?
No, I don't think
you know, like, it's been so long. But I think this is a really good discussion. We'll have to maybe dig into this a little bit deeper over the weekend and continue coming up with some names. Maybe I'll pose it for G&D to have this discussion next week at some point. All right, next I want to talk about this article that Ben Standing put out in The Athletic looking at some potential cap casualties for Washington, looking at how much you can save. Is it going to be worth the extra cap to move on from the player that we talk about? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.